Well, good morning and welcome to our online worship service at Westwood Church. So glad that you've joined us this morning. If you're a newcomer or a guest, a special warm welcome to you as well. Thanks to our worship team for leading us this morning. And along with Corinne, I too am grateful for our church family sticking with us this past year. In many respects, it has been a very long year. And we've been challenged on many fronts, but God has been faithful. We're getting through it, and we are starting to see some of the restrictions being lifted as we kind of move towards spring and as vaccinations unroll, and we're grateful for that. You know, one of the things that I've really been blessed with personally and surprised at some points along the way is that in spite of the challenges that we've had, in spite of this past year, God is at work, and he's using his church, Westwood being a part of that in the making of disciples. I've been absolutely blessed when people who have either strayed from the Lord or who are searching for a relationship with the Lord have found their way through the ministry of Westwood, have found an inroad even through the means that we've been using, whether it's been online or through relationships, calling the church office, or so forth. So grateful for that, and I hope that you are encouraged by that as well. Well, as I noted last Sunday, we're bringing our time in the book of Acts to a conclusion today, and it's not that we've looked at everything that we could possibly look at in this great book, but I think Acts chapter 20 is an appropriate place to conclude. Because the overarching theme of Acts chapter 20 has to do with leadership and giving oversight to the church family. You know, when I began in pastoral ministry, I had very little practical experience with leadership generally and specifically in the life of the local church. So one of the first things that my lead pastor had me do in the church in Kelowna was read a book called Developing the Leader Within You, and the author's name was John Maxwell. And I remember it well because one of the first quotes in that book was this: everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And you know, my initial reaction in reading that was to resist it. No way, I thought. There's no possible way that statement is true. Everything rises and falls on leadership? I mean, that's simply arrogant. Now, remember, I was starting out in pastoral ministry. I had very little church leadership experience. I was 24 years old. What did I know? Well, the truth was I didn't know a whole lot. Because since I first read that quote some 27 years ago, I've gained much greater appreciation for the meaning behind it. Leadership matters. Whether you are pastoring a church or running a business, whether you are playing sports or parenting your children, leadership matters. Now, we can argue over whether everything rises and falls on leadership, but I think we can agree that much rises and falls on leadership. And that's true of every local church, including a church like ours. Now, as we've been studying the book of Acts, reminding ourselves that we're not merely to go to church, but we're actually called to be the church. Like, this is our calling. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be the church. And in Acts, we have unpacked what that looks like. As we come to Jesus, we're to be evangelistic in our thinking and in our actions. We're to speak about him. We're to live out the kingdom message of Jesus in gracious and loving ways. As we draw close to Jesus, we begin to live out the values that Jesus has. and values such as generosity and care and love and compassion for the outsider start to emerge in greater and greater measure. We become people who care about one another and pray for one another. We're known as people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, not by something that we try to manufacture. We seek to build other people up, to come alongside them and equip them for ministry so that the kingdom of Jesus expands. We're called to live and to lead in the way of Jesus, not just any old way, but in the way of Jesus. And Jesus himself said that the way to eternal life, the way to abundant life on this earth and in the life to come, it's narrow, it's hard to navigate, but it's a way that brings true life. This is how we are the church. There's no walls, there's no restrictions, there's no set times, there's no planned ministry programs that prevents us from being this kind of people going about our days, going about our weeks at school, at home, at work, or at play. And yet when I look at all this and when I think about what this means to be the church, if I let it, it can overwhelm because it seems like it's a really big ask of all disciples of Jesus. And then I think about that phrase, everything rises and falls on leadership. And it's a little nerve-wracking if I'm thinking, well, who's going to lead the people of God to be this kind of people? Is it the role of the pastor? Is it my role to ensure that we're this kind of people going about our lives living like this? And if it is, how do I lead? And what's it going to take? Well, I've come to realize that as a pastor, there is a level of weight that comes upon one to lead like this. But thankfully, it's not mine alone. Thankfully, it's shared. This leadership load is shared by many others. So as we wrap up our time in Acts, and in Acts chapter 20 specifically, and this challenge to be the church, for Westwood to be the church, it's fitting that Acts chapter 20 speaks to pastors and leaders in their responsibility to lead the people of God in the way of Jesus as we make disciples through every season. Not just COVID, no matter what the cultural climate happens to be. While this message is very specific to our pastoral staff, it extends to our board of elders, to each of our life group leaders, to our children and our youth and our young adult leaders, our worship team members, our prayer team, our finance team, and our leadership discernment team. And that numbers a lot of people. So if you thought that you could check out and say, well, it's not for me, I'm not a leader, hang tight a little bit longer because God has something for you in his word because your leadership matters. As I talked about last Sunday, Paul had spent 2 to 3 years in Ephesus building up the church. And when he left there, there was this committed group of believers in that city. Some months later, after he left on his way to Jerusalem, where he knew that his ministry and his life was going to come to a conclusion, he actually called all of the leaders of the Ephesians church to him, and then he charged them with a very specific word as they went about their leadership to their church family. Paul was so committed to Jesus, he was so committed to the bride of Christ, the church, that he took every opportunity to encourage and challenge the church to be everything that God wanted them to be. And these are his words to these leaders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves in all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Paul's words are absolutely timeless. His challenge to the leaders of the Ephesians church 2 millennia ago are a challenge that Westwood leaders need in our day as well. How can we lead our church family in the way of Jesus, effectively making disciples no matter what the season, no matter what the cultural climate? How can we lead them to be the church, to be the kind of people that we've been studying about and learning about in the book of Acts? To every leader watching and listening right now, Paul tells us, we watch our lives, we give wise oversight to our church family, and we shepherd our people. These are not three simple, trite points. These are weighty responsibilities of church leadership. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves. Leaders, we're called to watch ourselves. Effective leadership in the church begins with self-leadership. It's the greatest priority of a leader. Leadership in the church is not first about being a great communicator, a great Bible teacher, a great life group leader, a problem solver, financial analyst. It's not about those things first and foremost at all. It's about character. It's about your inner life. It's about your heart. It's about your relationship with the living God. Watch your life. Jesus was the best example of this because when you read the Gospels, you know and you get this clear sense that Jesus was a busy man. He had a full life. But again and again, the Bible says that he would make the time. He would get away and he would find quiet places and places of solitude to spend time with his heavenly Father. Sometimes we're told it was in the early morning. Early in the morning, Jesus would get up and he would go and find a time to pray, to be with his heavenly Father. Sometimes it was when he saw crowds approaching, probably in the middle of the day. And he knew that he needed to spend time with his Father. Why would he do that? Because he needed to hear from God. He needed to be filled by God. He needed to rest in God for every aspect of his life. And in doing so, what Jesus was doing was building his foundation. He was anchoring his life, one that was filled with challenges, one that was filled with tests and temptations that would come Jesus' way all the time, just like you and me. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a man just like us. Just like us. He was tempted and tested in every way, just like us. Think about that. Yet Jesus, the Bible says, did not sin. Fully God, but fully man, challenged, tested, tempted in every way just like us. He had hard days. He had big problems to solve. He would have had those who were vying for his physical affections, his emotional affections. Yet Jesus was anchored firmly in his Father's hand. He was committed to obeying his Father, and he stood firm. Watch your life. I alluded last week that the past few years have been particularly devastating for the church with some of our celebrity leaders and their fallouts. Carl Lentz was the lead pastor at Hillsong Church in New York until half a year ago. Now, you may not know Lentz, or you may never even have heard of him, but Lentz is, he was a very, very cool, hip pastor. He's 41, and he was leading a church in New York. So imagine leading a church in the heart of that city where there's so much buzz and bang and all the celebrities are hanging out. Lentz baptized Justin Bieber and came alongside him and discipled him in some manner. He hung out with Kevin Durant, the basketball star of the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, it's a totally different world when you think about ministry and discipleship in that kind of context. It's hard for us to imagine living in Prince George, but that's some pastors' lives and realities. Lentz messed up fairly significantly in multiple ways, and he was fired for just cause. He's trying to put his marriage and his family back together again, but what struck me was his response to his firing. This is what Lentz said. "I've not done an adequate job of protecting my own spirit. My leadership has come from an empty place." My leadership has come from an empty place. You see, there was a lack of integrity. And integrity simply means wholeness. There was a lack of wholeness to his life. He was hiding a very empty interior behind a very enthusiastic, high-energy exterior. Now, I cannot imagine what it might be like to try and lead and serve under the kind of pressure that he would have had in his context. But you know what? It's not about just the celebrity pastors and a pastor who's kind of serving in that kind of a context. It can happen to any of us that we're leading from an empty place. You don't have to be a paid pastor. You don't have to be an elder on a board. You can be an enthusiastic lay leader who is leading from an empty place. Watch your life. To each of us in leadership, we have got to stay close to Jesus. We must ensure that our spiritual well is continually being filled for our leadership to be effective. And who fills it? Well, time with Jesus, time with our Heavenly Father, time spent in prayer, time studying the Scriptures, time for solitude. We need to stop and listen to the voice of the Spirit who lives in you and who gives guidance even in the midst of full and busy lives. Sometimes the most holy thing that you could do would be to take a nap and allow God to do the work for you. You know, and if we struggle in these areas, and we probably all do at points in our lives, let's find the courage to speak with a fellow leader and begin a conversation and let's address it. Because our spiritual self-care is more important than an organizational slot that is filled with a person, but one who is spiritually empty. We need to watch our lives. We also watch our lives when we make our marriages and our families and our friendships a priority. I've not always gotten this one right. There have been seasons over the years when Leanne thought that I was married to the church. And this is a very real challenge in the life of the church, and it's the responsibility both of pastors and leaders and also the church family to watch out for this. It does not matter the size or the scope. Those are irrelevant. Church leadership, period, demands a lot of energy and a lot. And if not careful, it can actually become the mistress to a pastor or an enthusiastic lay leader. One of the things that I've actually been grateful for here since coming to Westwood is that the Board of Elders has been very engaged in this aspect. And the two moderators that I have been so thankful for, that I've served with, keep me accountable in this regard. Paul, he highlighted the impact of watching our lives when he wrote to Timothy, his younger mentee, who was pastoring the church in Ephesus. He said, "Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Watch your life and your doctrine, your convictions, how you understand the Scriptures. Watch them closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Wow, our lives matter. To each of our Westwood leaders, we lead well and we will be effective in our leadership as we first watch our own lives. Then we can give wise oversight to our church family. Can you see how the sequence of priorities is important? Watch your lives, then we can give wise oversight to our church family. How can one provide wise oversight if their own life is in disorder, in disarray? And why would anyone want to follow such leadership unless, of course, that person is also spiritually unhealthy and disordered? You see, a leader can only provide wise oversight to the whole church and to a specific area of ministry within the church if they're deeply invested in watching their own life, sticking close to Jesus and his word, cultivating a healthy marriage if they're married, and a family life if they have kids, living with integrity, living with wholeness. Paul, he understood this really, really well. If you show me an unhealthy leader, I'll show you an unhealthy church. And one of the best ways, I think Paul is getting at here, to provide wise oversight to the church is to be alert to false teaching. To know Jesus and to know the scriptures, to have such a warm, close relationship with Jesus and the Word of God that there's no room for the counterfeit to find their way in, to worm their way in, and to take hold. Paul, he was adamant in this regard. Acts 20, verse 29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Now, remember Ephesus. Lots of goddess worship at the Temple of Artemis, magical arts, New Age philosophy, ways of thinking that sought to draw people in, but weren't the way of Jesus. And Paul, he had spent 3 years with them, teaching them the whole counsel of God, showing them how to stay close to Jesus, showing them how to know and understand the apostles' teaching. And yet he knew that there would be voices that would find their way in, that would try to distort and steer the people of God away from truth, choosing other ways. And these would be people, Paul said, that would actually come from within the church. Not from outside, but from within. This is an ever-present danger and challenge. So leaders must be alert to false teaching and to false teachers. And the best way to do this is to actually walk closely with Jesus. That's why it's just simply unwise to put spiritually immature people into positions of leadership. They probably haven't been able to lead self well enough at that point. They probably haven't gained an appreciation, insight of the scriptures and how it's lived out and walked through their own experiences. When we know ourselves well and we know truth well and we've lived it, we can give wise oversight to the whole and we can discern the counterfeit when it enters into the picture. I'm told that bankers only deal with real money when they're in training. Bank tellers. Only real money when they're in training. Day after day after day. Dealing with real money. Feeling it with their hands. Handling it. Hearing how it sounds. So that they know what the real stuff is. What the real stuff is. Then, when a counterfeit comes into the mix, it's immediate. It's immediate. Something is not right. They feel it, they hear it, and they address the problem. So giving wise oversight to the church family and protecting it from false teachers and false teaching is one of the responsibilities of church leaders, which is why we need to take leadership seriously. But a leader can only do that if they know the truth really well. Now, of course, we all need to grow, and we all need to mature in all things, but not knowing the scriptures very well, finding yourself just ill-equipped in many spots is a dangerous place to be if you're placed in a position of leadership. And I would suggest that if you find yourself in a position of leadership and you are just ill-equipped and you're not sure about a lot of things, that we need to have a conversation, because it would be better to actually make a shift to grow you and develop you so that you could become a person who one day might give wise oversight to the whole. One of our priorities at Westwood Church is leadership development, and we're taking this seriously. Right now, Johannes Gita, one of our elders, is teaching a course on the Apostles' Creed so that we understand our Christian faith convictions more clearly, so that we understand them more deeply. Pastors Ryan and Robin are spending a lot of time with our life group leaders, mentoring them in their leadership skills, in how to understand the scriptures and how to lead Bible studies, so that they can do that well, so that they can provide wise oversight to the whole. Pastor David is leading our youth through the same study in the book of Acts as we're doing right now, but he's doing it at a level that's suitable for our youth. See, knowing truth and living it will both guide and it will guard our church family to be effective disciple makers, to be the church in a way that's making a difference in our city. The third area that Paul highlights for leaders has to do with shepherding. So we give good leadership to our church family as we watch our lives, as we give wise oversight to the whole, and as we shepherd our people who are individuals. You see, great leadership is not top-down. Great leadership is not disconnected from the people. It's not a direction where we bark the orders and watch the people go kind of deal. Great leadership is connected with the people. Paul says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Be shepherds of the church of God. I don't know what you all think of this or you understand the role of leadership, but you simply cannot get away from the shepherding imagery which is found all through Scripture when you think about leadership. See, God calls his people sheep all through the Scriptures. That you're going to see that time and time and again. And God sees these sheep as valuable because he paid with his own life to purchase them as his own. And then God calls those who he's called to lead his sheep, he calls those people shepherds. And then Jesus in the Gospels is described as the good shepherd, as the example, the one that we can really, really follow. And good shepherds are very connected with their sheep. Good shepherds understand them because they spend time with them. They know when they're hungry. They know when they're thirsty. They know when they need some extra attention, some listening ears, words of encouragement. And they take the time to care for them. So what does this look like? Well, there's this word that's used multiple times in Acts chapter 20. And it speaks to this shepherding reality that leaders have of God's people. It's the word parakaleo. And it literally means coming alongside and calling out of another person. Now, we translate that word encouragement. And Paul describes this aspect of shepherding through the use of the word encouragement all throughout Acts chapter 20. And he describes how he lived it. He was present with them. And that was a way of encouragement. It was incarnational ministry, just like Jesus. He came alongside them and he spent time with them. He was not disconnected from them, but he knew who they were and he knew some of the challenges and the issues. And he spent time with them. At the beginning of Acts chapter 20, he's hanging out with the group of them all night long. Now, I don't know if, you know, that's for all of us or if that happens all the time, but it sometimes happens when the sheep need care. He encouraged them through his use of words. He instructed them and comforted them through speaking to them. How many of us can share a word of encouragement with the sheep under our care? Maybe it's an email, maybe it's a text, maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a note or a card. Listening, speaking into their lives, we encourage our sheep. And then through our actions, we demonstrate our care for them. That's how we shepherd our people. We come alongside and we call out of them. We speak into their lives. Now, if this was the responsibility or the expectation of one pastor at Westwood, it simply cannot be done. And it's a wrong understanding of shepherding leadership. It's not going to happen. We would have one pastor in the psych ward, and we'd have a whole lot of sheep crying for somebody to care for them. But when we think about it collectively, and each of our pastors and elders understands that they can be responsible to care for several sheep under their care, and if each life group leader understands that they can come alongside and encourage a handful of people in their life group, and our children and our youth leaders are watching out for a few families, and then if every disciple who calls Westwood their church family understands that in Jesus, they too are priests. They're called to serve. They're called to bring the gifts that they have and care for other people, not simply wait on the professional pastor to care for them, but to actually extend their lives and care for another. Do you know what? The sheep will be cared for, and we will be giving wise, effective oversight to the whole. Just this past week, I was absolutely blessed, over kind of mind blown actually, but totally blessed, as I heard about one of our Westwooders who was getting ready to go to bed. This just happened a week ago. And the phone rang asking for their help. Now, I know exactly what it's like when that phone call comes. It's the end of a long day. You are tired. You're not even sure if you know what to do to help the person, to come alongside the person who's on the other end of the line. And the easiest thing to do is to look the other way or hope that they're okay until morning when you can actually feel a little more alert and maybe engage with them better. Well, this individual, together with their spouse, gathered themselves together, and for the next 3 hours, they came around a family situation that needed their care as a shepherd. They didn't have all the tools they might have liked. But what they had, they offered. They offered their presence. They offered their wisdom from walking with Jesus and their knowledge of the scriptures. And on a practical level, they actually got them the help that they needed to get them through the night. What an amazing example of shepherding people, of coming alongside and helping them. Might we all have that kind of servant heart? So does everything rise and fall on leadership? That was the question that I kind of posed in the quote that I shared at the beginning of this sermon. Well, we got to remember that it's Jesus' church, and he purchased it with his blood. So it's not mine. It's not yours, it's not ours, it's his church. And because it's his church, Jesus is also the head of it. It's not me, it's not you, and it's not us. So we can breathe a little bit easier if we thought that somehow the responsibility to ensure that Westwood Church be the church, live the kingdom that Jesus wants for us, you know, we can breathe a little easier if we thought that that was all on our shoulders. Because it's not, because it's Jesus' church. But Jesus has called some to provide leadership to his bride, this imperfect yet beautiful body of people. And so we lead with this privilege, and we lead with great humility, trusting that as we seek to be both faithful to the call that God has placed in our lives, and we desire to be fruitful, that God will use us. God will work in us and through us for his purpose and his glory. Amen. Let me pray for us as we bring our time in the book of Acts to a close. Lord, we thank you again just for the word that you hold out to us, a word that brings life to each of us. I thank you today for each of our leaders on many, many different levels for the service and the work that they do on our behalf for your glory, for your purpose. Our desire is to be the church. Our desire is to make disciples and to do it as effectively as possible. And so we pray that your spirit would have encouraged and challenged us today by how we're giving leadership to your church. Help us in those areas where we're falling short. Remind us of some of the basics. And fill us anew. Give us a renewed energy to lead your people, to lead this community, so that we can move forward in these coming days and weeks with great energy and great enthusiasm for all that you're doing. Father, we thank you that the restrictions are starting to lift, and we pray that you would help us to know how to navigate this next chapter with wisdom. I pray for our leaders that you would give us a lot of grace and a lot of insight, and I pray for our church family that you would give them patience and perseverance as we walk together. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me close with a benediction from the book of Romans, very last words of Romans chapter 16. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to establish you by the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Amen. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon. Oh, we look to the